Some say it's a multi-billion dollar a year crop just waiting to be planted. Others say it's just a thinly veiled plot to make illegal drug legal. This leads us to ask, should we allow for the cultivation of industrial hemp?
Welcome to the award-winning Food Chain Show with your host, Michael Olson. Now, get ready for an hour of What's Eating What Radio.
Well, hello out there. You are tuned into the 508th edition of the Food Chain right here on News Talk Radio. Or hey, perhaps you're among our friends way down there in Montevideo who are tuned in as we stream along on the food chain page at metrofarm.com. Well, whoever you are and wherever you are, welcome aboard. I am Michael Olson, your host for this hour of What's Eating What Radio with engineer Dave Michaels on the boards. Hello, Dave.
Good morning.
Producer Carol Stafford on the phones. Hello, Carol. She waves from the phones. Folks, consider marijuana, a plant that belongs to a family known as cannabis, which includes three genotypes, Indica, Ruderalis, and Sativa. The cannabis family is well known for its ability to manufacture Delta-9 tetrahydrocannabinol, a chemical that makes we humans giggle. But one member of the family, Sativa, has also made itself useful in other more practical ways. In fact, cannabis sativa, or hemp, as we sometimes call it, yields food and fiber and has been cultivated throughout history as an industrial crop. In 1937, hemp, along with its cannabis cousins, were prohibited and thus faded away from the landscape here in the United States. Today, hemp is cultivated in 30 nations throughout the world and imported into the United States, where it is made into a variety of products, from candy bars to jeans. Some now say hemp could become a multi-billion dollar a year crop if we just planted it. And others say that the effort to legalize industrial hemp is just an effort to legalize drug use. This leads us to ask today, should we allow for the cultivation of industrial hemp? Here to help us find some answers, we have, start off with Jeanette McDougall, who is with the National Alliance for Health and Safety, right, Jeanette?
Correct.
Mm-hmm. And where are you now?
And also, I'm the chair of the Hemp Committee for Drug Watch International.
Okay. I should mention to the folks out there that I looked around for somebody who could speak up against the notion of legalizing industrial hemp, and Jeanette's name was given to me by Californians for Drugs-Free Schools. They said Jeanette is the a good spokesperson for this, so I called her up and had a great conversation with her. Jeanette, how did you become interested in pursuing this war against industrialized hemp?
Well, I'm a retired drug abuse prevention teacher from St. Paul, Minnesota.
Mm-hmm.
And I was also at the time studying the drug culture and the pro-drug movement. And as I was doing this, I noticed in the early 1990s that hemp was being, I saw it in High Times. I monitor the pro-drug magazines. I saw it in High Times and other pro-drug publications. And I thought, there's something happening here.
What was happening?
And what was happening was that the drug culture was getting interested in hemp, and they were promoting it. But now I also belong to Farm Bureau, and I didn't hear Farm Bureau saying anything in the early 1990s.
And interestingly enough, when I called up the California Department of Food and Agriculture,
mm-hmm.
and asked them on their position of AB 11147, which is a California attempt to legalize hemp, mm-hmm. in California, the California Department of Food and Agriculture took no stand on this at all,
mm-hmm.
and would refuse to talk about it. So
yeah.
it seems like industry itself is kind of taking a neutral position on this.
Well, the Farm Bureau had a little bit of a bad experience. They were written up in High Times on the same page as an advertisement with a crotch pocket to hide your valuables. That didn't go over well. So anyway, they went from a we will support research to a neutral position.
Okay. Well, Jeanette, you're with the National Alliance for Health and Safety. We always ask our guests, who pays the way?
What?
Who pays your way? Who pays?
Oh, who, me?
Yeah.
Me.
So you, this is you, okay.
Yeah.
Fair enough.
I'm not funded by anybody.
Okay, good. Also with us today, we have John Rulak, who is the founder and CEO of Nutiva, I guess you might call it an industrial hemp food manufacturer. Also the author of several books. John, you want to tell us about your books?
Yeah, I'm author of Backyard Composting, Your Complete Guide to Recycling Yard Clippings. We sold over a million copies worldwide. It's published in several countries, and also I've written several books on hemp, including industrial hemp and Hemp Horizons.
Good. And
well, good to be here.
And Nutiva is a manufacturer of what? What do you manufacture?
Yeah, we're America's leading hemp foods manufacturer. Our products are sold in over 3,000 stores in the United States, Britain, and Canada.
And producer Carol Stafford puts your hemp seeds on her salads. So she says they're delicious.
Great. Well, I'm glad she enjoys them. We have a lot of people who are looking for nutritious organic foods, and hemp is considered to be the most nutritious seed in the world because of its rich protein source, essential fatty acids, and minerals. And we have a lot of people who buy our hemp because they're looking for a nutritious food. They don't necessarily care whether it's hemp or whether it's linked by other people to the so-called drug war.
Okay.
They're just looking for an organic high source of essential fatty acids that helps their health.
That's certainly a subject that we want to get into a little bit later, but first I'd like to start with a very basic question, which is, what is the difference between cannabis grown for hemp and cannabis grown for THC?
Yeah, I'd be glad to discuss
we'll start
that.
With you, John.
Hemp is the oldest cultivated plant. It was originally grown in Central Asia and China and Korea. And for thousands of years, hemp has been grown.
You mean it was the first plant to be cultivated as a crop?
Correct, yes. Yes.
Hmm.
Hemp was developed specifically for its fiber and seed use. And in China, they've been using hemp for making fish nets, and also for clothing, and they've been doing that for 3,000-4,000 years. And it's very, very, the varieties they've grown today are very low in THC, less than 0.5% THC.
Okay, this would be cannabis sativa we're talking
about.
Well,
now that's actually, the cannabis sativa is a Latin word for useful plant.
Mm-hmm.
But they're also, there's not such a category of cannabis sativa and cannabis indica that like some people think. So
okay.
That was one thing I was going to kind of correct you on.
Well, I stand corrected
yeah.
then.
So there are varieties of cannabis sativa that are high in THC that would be 5, 6, 7, 10% that have the psychoactive effect that people grow for
mm-hmm.
for marijuana or medical marijuana. But the industrial hemp, so the varieties that we use, and Ford and GM and BMW and the largest corporations in the world for automobile parts and plastics and building materials, those are developed specifically for food and fiber, and they have low THC.
Which
and basically, if you smoke it, you get a headache, the leaves. If you smoke more, you get a bigger headache. No drug quality. And countries like France, Germany, China has a very strong drug policy. If you grow hemp, the farmers make money. If they grow marijuana, they can go to jail.
They get
very
their heads
simple.
Chopped off, right?
Yeah.
Jeanette McDougall, is there a difference between cannabis grown for THC and cannabis grown for its food and fiber?
Yeah. Is there a difference?
Yes.
It is the same species, a different variety, and I get this from mainstream agriculture books like Dr. Dempsey, and so it...
you had a wonderful illustration using corn. Why don't you use that?
Oh, yes. I grew up on a farm, and we planted corn for food.
Mm-hmm.
And we also planted field corn, and sometimes we didn't have the corn for food, but we would eat field corn if we needed to or had to or wanted corn and we didn't have seed corn.
Jeanette, if you had field corn standing right next to sweet corn, could you see the difference?
Possibly. I don't remember.
Okay, let me ask John. If there were cannabis grown for hemp and cannabis grown for THC growing side by side, could you tell the difference by looking at them?
Yes. I mean, someone who's maybe a 11-year-old that maybe would go, oh, well, they have the same leaf pattern, mm-hmm. But it's grown much differently. With industrial hemp, you might have a couple hundred plants in 1 square meter.
But I mean, a plant per plant. I mean, if growing conditions aside, could you tell if you had one that was grown for hemp and one that was grown for THC?
Definitely. Yeah. Hemp is tall, and whereas marijuana is more of a bush and very lateral.
Okay. So
plant.
any what you're telling me then is any plant that's tall that has no THC in it?
No. The idea is, as I indicated before, industrial hemp grown in 30 countries around the world have less than 0.5% THC. They do have THC, but it's very minimal amount, no psychoactive, such a little amount that if you smoke the leaves
yes.
and flowers, whereas marijuana would have 5 to 15%. And the thing to remember is this is like totally a non-issue in every industrialized country except for America. We're like just so fixated on this.
That's a perfect place to come back to.
Yeah.
Why are we so fixated on this issue? Folks, this is the Food Chain, Michael Olson. We're talking about industrial hemp, and should we allow for it in the United States? 800-624-2665, 831-479-1080. Right back. Please do stay tuned. So one wonders why it's such a big deal. In 30 countries around the world, cannabis is grown for its industrial purposes, for its fiber, for its food value, and yet here in the United States, it is not grown. And John Rulak, who is the founder and CEO of Nutiva, raised an interesting point. It's only an issue here in the United States. So I'm going to ask Jeanette McDougall from the National Alliance for Health and Safety why it's such a big deal here in the United States. Jeanette?
Well,
why are we so bonkers on marijuana? Why is it such a big deal here?
Well, it is a lead-in for marijuana. And in my opinion, it normalizes the idea of planting marijuana. And the terms hemp and marijuana are now used interchangeably. And so there's the drug issue. But the other issue another issue is that hemp is not really economically
okay. These are all of good objections, Jeanette, but I want to know why we are so fixated here in the United States, why we are so bonkers on cannabis. What is it about that has us so crazy? I mean, it grows as an industrial crop in 30 other countries, and nobody else seems to have this problem that we have. Why is it that we have this problem?
Well, we are very mindful of the drug issue. I do think the drug issue, and then the other thing is that for all the touting of the hemp food, it does contain THC, which is a toxin.
Okay, that's certainly an issue we want to pick up and with John, especially because he manufactures hemp foods. And it was an issue raised by the Californians for Drug-Free Schools, and it's certainly an issue I want to get to. But John Rulak, let me ask you, why is it that we're so stoned on this whole notion of cannabis? What is it that's got us about it?
Well, I think one is we've had a campaign since the 1930s, Reefer Madness, which I always thought was such an ironic campaign. I mean, it showed it showed pictures, of young people, smoking mm-hmm. pot, and that if you smoke pot, that women wanted to jump in bed with young men, you know. Obviously a campaign designed to reduce drug use by that kind of campaign, you know.
Yeah.
Which was
that would turn them away by the millions, right?
Kind of ironic, you know. I just think we're, you know, the United States, sometimes we tend to go overboard on things. It's a beautiful country. I'm fourth generation Californian, and I think it's now become, we're overcoming some of these, you know, resistance, but, you know, it's like Ford Motor Company, Mercedes, they buy hemp fiber for cars. There's over a million cars in America that have hemp fiber, and mm-hmm. they're buying cars, they're not because there's a hemp content, and they can poke fun, we got a car with hemp fibers. They don't even mention that. It's because it costs less money. If the cars are lighter weight, gets better gas mileage. That's the reason why they're doing that, you know. Why do you think Whole Foods sells Nativa hemp oil or protein powder? Mm-hmm. Do you think because Whole Foods, which is a Fortune 1000 company, has a greater stock value than almost any other, no other supermarket except for maybe one other in the United States? Why are they doing it? Because people are coming in buying it, you know. Yeah. Why do we sell lots of...
Well, we're also bonkers on it. We're also totally fascinated with it. We're also obsessed with it. And that's the question that I would like to find an answer for more than any other one. Why are we obsessed with it?
Yeah.
Jeanette, you want to try?
Yes. Because it is the same. It's low-grade marijuana. And
but that doesn't tell us why we're obsessed with
it. Okay, but I'm about ready.
Okay.
It is the movement is not just a movement of we want hemp for food, but it's part marijuana. The marijuana movement is a religious movement. The people who are promoting marijuana have a religious fervor, and they tie it in with the Bible, they tie it in with the environment, and they're sucking in children to marijuana use through the benign use of hemp and hemp foods. And this whole movement was started by pro-drug advocates in the late 1980s.
Okay, that's a great lead-in. Let me ask John to respond to that then. John, is this a religious...
The thing is you're talking about marijuana. This is an agricultural non-drug crop, okay? What marijuana, that's like marijuana is like as a distant cousin of hemp. Hemp is not a low grade marijuana, you know. It's like telling corn farmers or apple farmers, you're promoting whiskey, you know.
Okay.
And they're just growing corn, you know. The market for hemp foods are growing at 50% a year. We're polluting the oceans, so more and more fish are getting contaminated. We're running out of fish, and we need a source of omega-3s. These are called essential fatty acids.
Save that until after the next break? Because
to me,
it's a hugely significant issue, and it's one I want to get at in some depth. Now, we're going to go to the phones, 800-624-2665, 831-479-1080. We're going to go to Robbie. Robbie, are you there?
Good morning, Mike.
Fire away.
Hey, you know, I'm an old-timer, and I remember when I was a young kid riding in the country with my dad up in Wisconsin,
mm-hmm.
and for miles and miles along the road, we would see these plants growing about 8 feet tall, and they had a barbed wire fence around them, and every so often you'd see a watchtower. And I asked my dad, what's that stuff that they got these watchtowers and everything? And he said, well, that's just hemp.
So why the watchtower?
To keep people from breaking into the fields and stripping all the plants.
Stripping them? Okay.
But I didn't see anybody parked by the side of the road. Yeah, this was during World War II across, and we couldn't get jute. We couldn't get a lot of things from overseas, so we grew our own.
Mm-hmm. Well, John Rulak, isn't that what you're talking about?
Yeah, the Hemp for Victory. We grew several hundred thousand acres. And matter of fact, when George Bush Sr. Jumped out of his World War II airplane when it was shot down, he survived. And one of the reasons why was, as this caller just pointed out, we couldn't get the supplies from jute from in Manila, hemp from
right.
The
but
Philippines.
Wasn't growing our own really what you're talking about here when it gets right down to the nitty-gritty?
Yeah, what?
Okay. But growing our own would mean growing our own fiber, growing our own food instead of importing it from other countries and building manufacturing jobs in America instead of exporting our jobs to other countries and wondering why we have more people.
Oops, I lost you there, but it's time to take a break.
Hey.
John, we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we'll pick you up. Folks, this is The Food Chain. Michael Olson here. Got John Rulak and Jeanette McDougall, and we're talking about should we or should we not industrialize hemp and allow for the cultivation of domestic industrialized hemp. Phone number is 800-624-2665, 831-479-1080. Right back. Do stay tuned. Well, folks, what do you think? Should we grow our own, or should we allow somebody else to grow it for us and ship it in? It is legal now to import cannabis products or hemp products and use them, as long as they don't contain THC, to manufacture foods and manufacture items that require fiber, because cannabis is able to supply these things to us. And yet it is illegal to grow here in the United States. So here in California and in four other states around the country, there are measures on the table to legalize the cultivation of hemp, which is otherwise known as marijuana, so long as it does not contain a certain level of THC. Do you think that we should allow for this? Phone numbers today, 800-624-2665, 831-479-1080. I am Michael Olson, your host for the hour. We have Jeanette McDougall from the National Alliance for Health and Safety, and we have John Rulak, who is the founder and CEO of Nutiva, which is a manufacturer of hemp products sold throughout the United States. And you, of course, we're always anxious to hear what you have to say. We do have a lot of people on the lines, and we will be going to the phones. But John brought up an interesting notion. Should we allow for the cultivation of domestic hemp, or should we force people in other countries, should we force ourselves to buy from people in other countries? Let's go to Jeanette and see if she has an answer. Jeanette, what do you think?
Well, that is one of the arguments they use, but I got to thinking, you know, we put coca in Coca-Cola,
right,
and we also use coca in cocaine for medicine. But as far as I know, we don't grow it here in this country, so we have to import it. So we don't grow everything that we use in this
mm-hmm.
country. And one thing I'd like to say about Hemp for Victory, the federal government lost millions of dollars on that Hemp for Victory project. They built factories and sold them for a song afterwards.
I'm just going to follow up with that factory. It's very interesting to show you the where the United States government was at that time. The senators from Illinois and from Wisconsin, Senator La Follette, one of the most prominent Midwestern senators at the time, wrote letters representing farmers saying, we want to have access to these mills. Since we grew hemp in the 1940s, we wanted to grow access, and the United States government refused to allow to sell those to farm groups. They refused to allow, and they had senators and a lot of strong support in the Midwest, and there was a concerted effort to strike down the industrial sector of hemp. In fact, I wanted to also correct one of the points that was made earlier. Hemp was not made illegal in 1937. They passed the Marijuana Tax Act, and I have in possession a Marijuana Tax Act card, where they call it marijuana then, but you could actually, there was many factories making hemp plastics, hemp telephones made out of hemp, building materials, car materials. Henry Ford built cars out of hemp, and these factories needed to get permits to purchase the hemp from the farmers, and in my book Hemp Horizons, which I document this, over 500 farmers could not get a permit to ship their hemp to the factory. So they didn't make hemp illegal because the Midwestern farmers wouldn't allow that. You had to get a permit, but the DEA, the predecessor to the DEA, tied up all the factories in so much red tape that they eventually had to go out of business. And the bottom line is we all know now we are starting to run out of oil, we're polluting our oceans, and we have to rely on the natural world. And hemp is one of the fastest growing crops. It's stronger than trees, and it has it is going to be replacing plastics from oil, and we can rely on the solar income of the sun.
Jeanette, what's wrong with that?
Well, it's not true.
Okay.
James Hopkins' History of Hemp is a very renowned historian, and I didn't see anywhere in there where they wouldn't sell factories to farmers.
That being the case, Jeanette, what about all of these industrial uses of cannabis? Aren't we losing a lot by not having this ability to exploit the industrial elements of hemp?
No. Valerie Van Treese says, various sources have reported different uses for industrial fiber, oil, and seeds. Not to be deprecating, figures such as these can be easily exaggerated or matched by other products, for example, corn.
Okay.
Jeanette, I understand you've been at this for a while, and, you know, you're a nice lady, and you have your positions there. But, you know, in Europe, over 100,000 acres are grown specifically for composites, and hemp. The thing is, hemp can be grown without pesticides or herbicides. It's an excellent break crop. When you grow it in rotation with soybeans have nematode problems, they have weed problems, and it cleanses the fields of weeds, it reduces nematodes, which farmers need. We need a rotation crop.
We have a difference of opinion here. So let's go to the phones and see what our callers have to say.
But they didn't plant 100,000 acres in Europe last year. They planted 39,000 acres.
No, I think you're meaning hectares, not acres.
No, acres.
Okay,
there's
so
a lot more acres planted.
We have a difference of opinion there. Let's go to the phone and talk with Liberty, who has an interesting opinion about what happens when we prohibit hemp. Liberty, go ahead.
Yes, very interesting discussion. Great couple of guests. Ironically, it seems that by prohibiting the commercial cultivation of hemp, we're actually facilitating the development of high THC strains of marijuana. This is because if commercial hemp were widely grown, there would be pollen in the air from commercial hemp, which would be breeding with the higher strains of cannabis yielding marijuana, and would actually downgrade it.
So that's one of the reasons why they don't want to reduce the street value of drug crops. It's interesting. The biggest opponents of industrial hemp are the DEA and the people who want to plant a lot of marijuana, because they know once we plant hemp fence row to fence row, the pollen's going to go out, and it's going to reduce, because the people who grow marijuana, they don't want their female high THC sensimilla to have any male pollen flowing around, and it flows for miles, so they're definitely very opposed to that.
Jeanette?
Why did Rosenthal and Hemp Today say if hemp were made legal, the hemp fields would become a very leaky bucket? Farmers who grow perhaps 1,500 an acre on hemp would have an incentive to grow marijuana.
There you go.
You're only allowed to grow varieties. In Canada, you can't. Two years ago, they grew less than 10,000 acres. Last year, they grew 20,000 acres. This year, there's over 30,000 acres. You're only allowed to grow certain varieties. If you grow any other varieties, you know, you're going to lose your license and you could be arrested.
Okay, that's interesting that you mentioned the acreage in Canada, 30,000 acres, when in California you have 28 million farmland acres. Which three farmers are going to plant hemp?
Well,
okay, folks, we're going to have to take a quick break. When we come back, we'll be talking hemp with Jeanette McDougall and John Rulak and you, 800-624-2665, 831-4790. Please do stay tuned. We will get back to you and the phones right after these important messages.
Get this. The average acre of farmland in or near the city limits may earn in excess of $123,000 per year. To learn how so much can be earned from so little, pick up a copy of Metro Farm, the guide to growing for big profit on a small parcel of land. Metro Farm is the PMA Ben Franklin Book of the Year Award winner by Michael Olson that contains over 500 pages of photos, charts, checklists, illustrations, and in-depth interviews. Metro Farm will teach you how to develop a strategy, survey markets, select crops, organize business, establish production, prepare for market, and make the sale. Metro Farm will teach you how others just like you earn a good living by growing high-value specialty crops for people who are truly appreciative. Abraham Lincoln said, "The greatest fine art of the future will be the making of a comfortable living from a small parcel of land." Get in on that future today. Pick up a copy of Metro Farm at bookstores, lawn and garden supply stores, 1-800-624-BOOK, or at www.metrofarm.com.
Well, what do you think, folks? Should we allow for the cultivation of industrial hemp, or should we not? We're asking Jeanette McDougall with the National Alliance for Health and Safety, and we're asking John Rulak, who's the founder and CEO of the Nutiva Company, which is a manufacturer of hemp products. We're going to go quickly to the phones because we have a bucket full of phone callers and a thimbleful of minutes, so let's go to Rory. Rory, fire away.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call. I just had a question. The industrial hemp, is that sativa? Or indica?
There's no botanical specification on that. It's grown for either fiber and food, which has less than 0.5% THC, and whereas cannabis sativa, that's grown for higher levels of THC, and that would have 5% or more THC that
so
you might refer to as
Dempsey.
Marijuana.
So they're not specifying what species to grow. They're just
correct.
Okay. The other thing is I kind of take issue with the fact that, you know, say it doesn't need herbicide or it doesn't need to be weeded. I know it's a vigorous plant from personal experience, but...
Personal experience, right?
Yeah, when I was in my pot-smoking days, we grew plants anywhere and everywhere. You know how it is. You turn into a pothead. You know, what was the word that they use for the kids that smoke pot?
Talking about industrial hemp.
I was drug crazed, but I'm not talking about that.
Okay.
That was a long time ago.
We're talking about industrial hemp.
Right, but it's going to need, you're going to need to weed it, because there's just as vigorous weed.
Okay, so just to let you know, in Canada, it's there's no pesticides or herbicides have been used in industrial crop and production. Matter of fact, it's illegal to use pesticides or herbicides in Canada. You have to register those for specific crops and know it's registered, because hemp actually outruns weeds in the field. It'll outrun Canadian thistle. And matter of fact, in the USDA Yearbook of Agriculture, our own United States Department of Agriculture reports that industrial hemp is the leading biological weed control for farmers in the 1920s and 30s.
Okay, Jeanette, go ahead. Go ahead, sweetie.
Did you say it's illegal to use pesticides? And
herbicides on industrial hemp in Canada, because you have to register the variety of a pesticide or herbicide to be able to use it, and no one has done it because no farmer's doing it. Nutiva has contracted for over about 3,000 acres of hemp this year, and the farmers, most of our acres is certified organic, but we know
so
many farmers who grow
it,
and they don't use any herbicides, pesticides, because they don't need to. Not, and also, same way in England, they don't use pesticides, herbicides. That's
okay.
The reason why farmers are very interested.
If hemp is planted at the right time and gets the right start, it can outrun weeds, but it doesn't always.
Okay, fair enough. Let's not belabor that point. Let's go to Shannon and see what Shannon has to say. Shannon, welcome to the food chain.
Hi. I just wanted to say that I thought that the idea that growing industrialized hemp would lead to normalizing of marijuana is kind of silly. And the reason why is because if I were the Santa Cruz Sheriff County's landscapist for their office building there, I could go out and buy legalized forms of mescaline, opium, datura, DMT, and some other plants that nobody's ever heard of. And I don't see that. I mean, I don't see anybody cutting their poppy pods in their front yards.
Okay, so that's a great point. Let's go to Jeanette. Jeanette, why not? We're not planting opium poppies in our front yard. What leads you to suspect that we're going to plant marijuana for cannabis, for THC?
The goal is to legalize marijuana. If you have hemp, it looks like marijuana. It's in the same family, and little by little, it'll be the normal thing to do. And I would like to kind of regress and say that this whole movement was hatched on an LSD trip by Jack Herer.
Okay.
And so you can see why. Well.
Okay. Fair enough. Let's go to Theodora and see what Theodora has to say. Theodora, welcome to the Food Chain.
Hi. Well, I just want to say talk is cheap, and if people really want to explore the many products of hemp, we have a wonderful new hemp store here in Santa Cruz.
But we're talking to people all over the country. And
Santa Cruz folks, and just mm-hmm. want to let them know there's a new called U.S. Hemp across from the clock tower.
Thank you, Theodora. Let's go to Bob. We have two Bobs on the line and see what Bob has to say.
Yeah, good morning, and thank you. I guess this is for both your guests, very briefly. How do you rectify hemp's proven history of human utility with its current illegality?
Ooh.
Well, I'll go ahead and take that. Here in California, we've introduced a bill, the California Industrial Hemp Farming Act, which has just passed the Senate, and it's now going to the State Assembly, and this will allow California farmers to get in on this new economic crop that's being grown all over the world, and it will likely go to the Governor Schwarzenegger's desk in California, Governor Schwarzenegger, for passage in September. So I'd encourage everyone who's interested in hemp and like to see that to contact Governor Schwarzenegger and encourage him to sign this bill. The California Certified Organic Farmers.
Let's take a quick break here.
Worldwide utility. In 2005, in the whole world, only less than 215,000 acres of hemp was planted. Less than 215,000 acres. In the U.S. alone, we have close to 1 billion farmland acres.
We could grow a lot of hemp, couldn't we?
If it's a utilitarian crop,
to that, we're going to have to take a quick break. Right back, folks. This is the Food Chain. Do stay tuned. Well, what do you think, folks? Should we or should we not allow for the industrial production of hemp here in the United States? If you did not get a chance to log your comments in today, and probably most of you will not because we are just about out of minutes, you can always do so on the forum page at metroforum.com. We have a brand new forum up and running, and the question of the week is, should we allow for the cultivation of industrial hemp? Gosh, this is a subject that we're not even going to get a chance to get close to. One of the things that I really wanted to get to was the notion of hemp as food. And John Rulak was talking about the ability of hemp to manufacture omega-3 fatty acids, which is a subject that perhaps we can just focus on someday alone and take it. But today we're romping on industrial hemp, and we've got Bob who has a most interesting question. Bob, fire away really quickly, please.
Thank you, Michael. Mm-hmm. My question for John, who seems very well-versed, I'm a farmer in the Salinas Valley, and I'm just curious, have you done your homework on the practicality, the economics of growing this crop in California? I'm sure that in Salinas Valley, probably the Central Coast would be out of the out of line, but I mean, in the Central Valley, there's a lot of land over there, and I think the guys over there would be more than willing to try something like this if they could show a profit on it.
John?
The farmers in Western Canada that are growing under irrigation are yielding around 1,500 pounds an acre and are getting at 80 to 85 cents a pound or around $1,200 an acre.
Is that organic hemp? 85?
Yes. Yeah, the yield making about $1,200 an acre for organic, and for non-organic, that would equate to around $600 an acre.
How long does it take to grow that crop?
That's about they plant it June 1st in the and harvest it in early September.
Now, the non-irrigated is more like $750. It would also
correct.
Be...
Yeah, non-irrigated in prairies in the western prairies doesn't have as good a soil, not as intermittent rain. They're getting anywhere. They average around 500 to 600 pounds an acre.
Mm-hmm.
Bob, are you ready to grow it?
You betcha, but not here. I'd have to go get some ground in the Central Valley. It doesn't make enough money to produce around here.
Right.
Yeah. The only reason why you grow it with strawberries and the Salinas is it reduces nematodes. So I want to do some trials. We know it reduces nematodes in strawberries. We'd like to see it. Of course, they spray methyl bromide, one of the most toxic substances. They're spraying it near schools, contaminating our groundwater, reducing our ozone layer and above the atmosphere, and we could potentially be growing that
could
in rotation with strawberries.
Schools?
Can you grow it where, Jeanette?
Could you grow it near schools? You're talking about schools.
Yeah, we want to be able to grow industrial hemp in strawberries. There's strawberries grow all over, and there are spraying herbicide toxic.
Let me ask you both really quickly, should we or should we not be growing domestic hemp in the United States? John, let's start with you, yes or no?
I think that's we've grown hemp since the 1600s. George Washington, Thomas Jefferson were hemp farmers, advocates for hemp. The Constitution was written on it.
Sounds like a yes to me, right? Jeanette McDougal, should we be growing industrial hemp?
Okay, no, it would cause problems for law enforcement. Hemp food products have not been established as safe,
and
it would interfere with drug testing.
That's a no from Jeanette McDougal and a yes from John Rulak. Thank you all so much for tuning in The Food Chain. Stay tuned next week for more What's Eating What Radio right here on The Food Chain.
You've been listening to the award-winning Food Chain Show with Michael Olson. If your friends missed the show today, tell them to log on to the radio page at www.metrofarm.com for a listen. Now go out and find some food with a farmer's face on it and live.